some magazine that they got over there and wrote me a letter and said that he had written to many, many people and no one had ever answered his mail, his letter. So I wrote to him, we exchanged pictures, and he made mention that he would love to have a cassette recorder and wondered if I wouldn't put some songs on it. So I did 60 minutes of singing songs and stuff, took them from records that I'd made before, you know. Uh-huh. And mailed it to him today.
Well, you probably have to send him the batteries too. Do you have to send him batteries too?
Yeah.
They don't have those kind of batteries.
The batteries and the recorder.
They use different current too over there, I guess. It's all different.
I suppose he'll be able to get batteries over there.
Maybe so. Who knows?
If he can't, well, I'll have to.
You'll have to keep it. And then write him every month, won't you?
Yeah. Anyway, I hope he'll be happy with what we're sending. Oh, we were talking about Frankie Moore and Dolph Hewitt. Dolph Hewitt called me last night. That's why I was thinking of him. I hadn't heard from him since 1966. He was with WLS in Chicago a long time after he left. Well, he left me at KXEL in Waterloo when the Army took him. We had an act on that station at that time in Iowa. And when he came back, he first went with KMOX in St. Louis, and then from there he went to WLS in Chicago, and he was with them for many years. Then when WLS went sold out and quit their country music and their national barn dance, he went to WGN, and he was with WGN until fairly recently, I guess. And he had his own syndicated TV show, and he had his own network radio show once a week, and he was doing real good, bought three radio stations up there in that area, then sold them. I think he must have had a heart attack or something, because he told me he had been ill and was advised to take it easy, and went to Kissimmee, Florida, and that's where he called me from. He saw my name in that magazine, said he'd been trying to locate me for years and couldn't ever catch up with me, and he wants me to come down there and go to work. He's working on a radio station down there in Kissimmee, WFIV, I believe it is. And he said that he wanted me to come down there and go to work with him. And he said, I'm going to write you a letter and explain the whole situation to you and tell you what we can do for you and what you can do for us. And you talk it over with Mary Ann. And when
you going?
No.
I didn't think
you
so.
You wouldn't want to leave here to go to Florida.
We lived in Florida. I managed three radio stations in Florida.
I like Florida.
Did you?
I managed a radio station first in Miami Beach, WMBM, and then later at WMIE in Miami proper. And then I managed a station in Sebring, Florida. And I was in management, you know, for several years. In fact, I worked as a managing consultant for 8 years. And during that time, I had 8 different radio stations. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up managing 2 stations in Albany, New York. Well, one was in Troy. The studios were in Troy, but the one was licensed to Albany, the FM, and the AM was licensed to Troy. And I managed both those stations until I retired just 3 years ago, April the 1st.
And so then you moved back here when you retired?
Well, yes. My mother just had a birthday the 26th of March. And she was 95. Reads the newspaper every day, reads all of it, never forgets anything she reads, watches all the sports on television. Her favorite team is the Pittsburgh Steelers. And she just argued with them. If they make a call that she don't like, she just has a fit, you know. 95.
Well, where does she live?
She stays with one of my sisters, usually up on Hinkle Mountain above Richwood, with my youngest sister.
Lives. Has she always stayed kind of there, or did she live out somewhere else for a while?
Well, she's always lived in this area here. All of my people have lived around here. They were all born around here, I guess, except me. I was born down in Kentucky, near Ripley.
Yeah.
And
Jackson County.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Moved up to Nicholas when I guess I was about 5 years old.
What did your dad do? What line of work did he fall?
Farmer. Well, he was a good carpenter, a good blacksmith, and a good fiddler.
Is that right?
He could make the prettiest music on a fiddle you ever heard in your life. I tell you, I used to say that he sounded better tuning up a fiddle than a lot of them did playing it. You never heard a bow scratch when he was playing. He just got the best tone out of it.
What were his favorite two or three pieces? Do you remember that?
Oh, he played all the old time pieces. Sourwood Mountain, Cumberland Gap. And,
thank you. Boy, that looks delicious. Doesn't look like a small piece.
All the old time pieces.
That's a beautiful cake, isn't it?
Yeah. What all you want in your coffee?
Cream and sugar for me.
Cream and sugar?
I just drink mine barefoot. What? Did your dad sing any too?
No, never sang.
What about...
Your mother played banjo.
My mother could play a banjo fairly pretty good.
What about, did she do any ballad singing?
No. I guess I was the first in the starcher.
So your mother never sang at all to you on any? Or
No. I started, I'd never seen a guitar when I first started playing. Dad was a good banjo player too. You know, he could play the picking style or the thumping style, either one. Played both ways. And he taught me some chords on the banjo, and of course we had one of these wall telephones. And if you'd ring five shorts on that, everybody would pick up their phone, because that meant there was news or something that was nobody's ring, in other words. You know, everybody had a spatial ring. I remember ours was too long to shorten along. And if that rang, why, we'd pick up the phone, and nobody else is supposed to. Of course, sometimes I expect they did, eavesdroppers. But we didn't intrude on other people's ring at home. Mm-hmm. But of an evening, we'd ring five shorts, and everybody'd pick up the phone, and we'd play music on the telephone. Now, that was before there was any such thing as radio. We'd never heard of radio at that time.
There's an identical story in my home community, or in Hampshire County, of two old men. They lived at opposite ends of the phone line. Two brothers, and they sang together, and they'd do that. They'd had a certain signal, and snowy times or times when people were shut in, couldn't get out, they'd pick up the phone and they'd sing from opposite ends of the line, and then everybody would join in.
Well, we didn't get any joiners in that we ever knew of. But we used to, I had to stand on a chair. There's a wall telephone. Play the banjo, and my dad play the fiddle. I got a hold of a guitar, and I fell in love with a guitar then, and I didn't even know how to tune it. I tuned it like a banjo, and the first four strings, and then someone came along later and showed me how to tune it and taught me a chord or two on the guitar, and I just took it from there, and I developed, because I had never seen anybody play, I developed my own style of playing, which is very unorthodox, and nobody can play with me, hardly. I just...
I've just talked to 200 or 300 people, all of whom say they played with you at one time or another.
They tried.
Just about everybody we've talked to
really?
Has played with Buddy.
I played with Buddy back in 31.
A lot of people would say, oh, he says, he's my cousin. He says, oh, we're related. You never heard of him.
Well, I've got more relatives than anybody in the whole world.
Maybe
reckon,
you could tell us which of the ones we've talked to really played with you. How about Slim Clare?
Yeah.
Yes.
And let's see, who else?
Sleepy Jeffers.
Oh, yeah. Sleepy worked for me for a long time on television.
Just before we left Charleston, I had a talk again with Doc Williams. Said to give you his best.
Mm-hmm.
So he's really looking forward to seeing you in Charleston. He and Chickie are coming down.
And Lee Moore's coming.
What's going to happen? What is this?
Oh, well, this is...
What do we do with that magazine there?
What do we do? Well, you know the magazine.
Yeah, well, there's an article in here on Vandalia from before. There's some pictures from... They just have a festival of all people from around the state down there at the Culture Center, and...
Now, this will be in Charleston?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's right across from the Capitol. There's the Capitol, and this is right across
this is
from
it.
Have you not been to the Cultural Center?
Uh-uh.
No.
They call it Arches Bunker. It's a big square. It's a big square thing with only windows right in the front. It doesn't have any other windows in it anywhere, and it looks like sort of like a bomb shelter that was above ground. And I worked there for 6 months or so when I was in Charleston.
Now, let's see. Your name is?
Klein, Michael Klein.
Klein, K-L-I-N-E?
That's right.
And yours is?
Paul Reisler, R-E-I.
Paul Reisler, how do you spell your name?
R-E-I-S-L-E-R.
Yeah, just like I would have spoke.
And so this is, they've had two of these festivals. They aim to have it on Memorial Day weekend. And the idea is to celebrate musical traditions that are especially... have to do with West Virginia.
Who sponsors it?
It's the state.
State?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Skip Johnson, that writes for the Gazette, staff writer,
mm-hmm.
He wrote an article that appeared in the Gazette not too long ago.
Last fall.
Yes, right there.
Is this it?
Stop almost.
But one of the main things we're going to be doing this year is bringing back all the old radio people who played around the state back in the 30s and 40s, and that's what we've been working the hardest on now, is sort of bringing everybody we can find back together.
Well, there's a beautiful little theater in the center. Seats about 500 people. It's acoustically so designed that you don't really even need a speaker system, although we use one. And our thought is to set up a jamboree type set, and have a continuous old time radio program starting at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And in fact, it will be broadcast over public radio. And run it from 1 until 4 or 5, and then come back in the evening with a more varied concert. Because, the special theme this year is the golden age of West Virginia radio in the 1930s and 40s. But there will be other themes of the festival as well. There will be some of the older people around the state, who, of course, were never on the radio, but are ballad singers and do other kinds of the older music.
You know Gina Scott Roach?
Oh, yeah.
I've got a banjo that he made for me.
Yeah. Out of a Buick transmission?
Probably. it's a good sounding banjo. It's not real loud, but it's got a beautiful tone. I'll show it to you directly. I expect I would be the only one, if I go, that ever broadcast on WOBU in Charleston.
Uh-huh. That was before it came.
That later was changed to WCHS.
Rucker
Hotel, WOBU.
They always seem to call it WCHS. I haven't heard them call it WIPU.
That was before your time.
Quite a bit, I'm sure.
And then in 1933, I went back on WCHS. It was, they changed it and moved down on Capitol Street at that time.
Uh-huh.
And during my time there is when the old Farm Hour got started. I had a program there that was the forerunner of the old Farm Hour. John Phillips and I used to audition. Well, I did most of the auditioning. Then on Friday night, I would audition on Wednesday night, and then on Friday night, we'd fill up the two studios. The control room was between the two studios, and I'd take one studio, and John Phillips would take the other one, and we'd each have a certain group in there, and I would, my group would do a number, then we'd switch over to John and his place, and his group would do a number. That way, well, we kept things going pretty fast, you know, without worrying. We got such an audience. I bought him a mandolin. He was the finest mandolin player, I guess, in the whole country anyway.
That's what we've heard, yeah.
And I bought him a brand new, best mandolin that Gibson made at that time, our highest priced mandolin.
When was that? Back.
And I had to order it.
That was just before World War
II. And it came in. That was in 1942. And it came in, and I took it up that evening to this radio station. And I wanted him to play it, and he wouldn't do it. He just opened up the case and looked at it, and he said, that's too pretty to even play on.
Well, was it one of them F5s back then?
I don't remember, but it was the best one that Gibson made at that time. And he wouldn't even take it out of the case. He just sat there and looked at it. And he, of course, he had his old Gibson mandolin that he used all the time anyway. So that night we had a program every night from 10 till 11. On that 50,000 watt station.
Waterloo, KXC,
yeah. We got out all over the world in that thing. I mean, we got from ships at sea, we got mail that was sent out by dog sled from the north, and New Zealand, ships at sea, all over.
What do you think of this modern country music we have out now?
I like Willie Nelson a lot.
I do too.
I tend to like a lot of the old stuff a lot better.
Too.
Well, now I'll tell you.
Let me answer your question this way. Mm-hmm. We at the festival at the Vandalia Festival last May, Wilma Lee came, and the Lilly Brothers came, and they did a lot of reminiscing about the old days, the old radio days too. What it was like growing up in the country and how they came to start playing music and all that sort of thing. And there was so much nostalgia for that it kind of paved the way for the special radio theme this year. Doc Williams loves to talk about this thing, this business, about how people feel that their music's been stolen from them. Doc?